Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer, and whether you're listening to this on a podcast or watching on WVUA23.com or the University Medical Center's website, we're glad you've joined us, and we appreciate the feedback we get from you and knowing that you're watching and listening to our segments with fine doctors from the University Medical Center here at the University of Alabama. Dr. Jamie Reeves, always good to see you. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me.
I know you probably had this on your calendar. I turned 70 back in February. And so I'm a senior adult. I tell my students, I'll act my age if you'll act yours. And that works pretty well for us. Do people my age and older than me present a different kind of set of challenges for a psychiatrist when we come to you with problems in the mental health area? What makes us a little different than maybe another age group?
You know, I like to say that actually older adults are actually quite healthy mentally compared to younger adults. We've learned this through COVID. Study after study shows that older adults have had much higher resilience than have younger adults over the last 2 to 3 years. And so the one thing about older adults is that they've had a lifetime of experience managing stresses, managing different ups and downs in their life. They've formed relationships that they've spent a lifetime working on. And at this point, actually, they tend to be, study after study, much less depression and anxiety than does any other age group in the older age group. So that is something that I try to work with older adults, is use those things that you've used throughout your life and know that you'll get through this difficulty just like you've gotten through so many other difficulties. And they tend to do very well with that. Older adults do have other things, medical illnesses and other things that start to creep in that may affect them in a way that doesn't younger people. So that's probably the one complication.
We don't want to make this a segment about Mike's mental health, but one thing about getting older that I am living proof of is you worry less, you have less stress, and you lose fear. I used to worry about dying. I used to worry about my boys. Well, my boys are men now. They're pretty much, they can take care of themselves, thank God. So I lose some of those stresses I used to have. Is that common for people 70 and above?
It's exactly why older people tend to do better, because they have less of those worries. When you're younger, you're worried about your life ahead, saving for retirement, having kids, managing a huge busy schedule, doing all sorts of things that as you're older, you've been there and done that. You've done those things. You can kind of enjoy your life for what your life has in terms of those relationships, not having to worry so much about money or not having to worry so much about different kinds of activities. You can focus on the things that you enjoy in your life and just enjoy each day for what it brings rather than all the other pressures that come on top of people when they're younger.
Do you notice or do you know of studies that say whether senior adults' mental health differs based on their faith beliefs? People may have no faith beliefs at all. Others, senior adults, may have a lot. Does that come into play? Do you have any gauge on whether that affects the comfort level, the mental health of seniors?
Absolutely. Probably the thing that gets into faith-based is the idea of socialization and activity.
Yeah.
So people that are involved in churches or other types of activities like that have a lot more involved in terms of their life, whether that's going to activities, talking, Bible studies, going to church itself, and that level of interaction and that belief in something higher than yourself, but also just the interactions themselves, gives comfort to people who are isolated and don't have those kind of relationships. They're at a disadvantage, I think, in terms of depression, anxiety, and other kinds of effects of isolation.
So even if it wasn't a church supper or a church meeting, bingo, any socialization where you're around other people on a regular basis and laugh and argue and joke and whatever else you do with those people is an important part of your mental health.
I think everyone has their own way of working through stress, and the socialization is a big part, whether you're religious or not. But I do think religion provides a lot of people with a sense of satisfaction and comfort that other people don't have. Some people, you know, really, a lot of my patients get a lot of comfort through prayer. And prayer can come in all sorts of things. There is the Christian version of prayer, but Buddhists have meditation. Other religions have their own form of types of prayer.
Of course.
And that gives a sense of inner peace and calm that other people who don't have a religious belief may not have a practice of doing. And so that is something I think across religions you see that is universally helpful for mental health.
as an adult psychiatrist, you deal with adults from in their 20s into their 80s, I suppose. Do you notice any difference in how open your patients seem to be and how rapidly they may open up to you and share very personal things with you, where in their younger years they may have been a little afraid to do that? Is there a difference there?
No, actually, I kind of see it as the opposite.
Really?
To some extent, is
interesting.
That mental health stigma has decreased as
yes.
the ages have gone on. And you see a lot younger generations more willing to get help. If you look at the University Counseling Center, they have a lot of referrals, a lot more referrals than they've had in the past, just because students are more understanding of the idea of getting help in counseling. Whereas older adults, there was a certain stigma that you don't talk about those kind of things. Those are things you deal with internally. And so, I think we mental health community has had to adapt to a growing number of people asking for help that are younger. There are older people that do ask for help,
sure.
but you don't see the rates as much as you do see in the younger population.
You know, your answer sent me back into the 60s when I was being raised, and if someone had a mental problem, well, we weren't very tactful in what we said about them. And, oh, I'll bet they're going to go away and never come back because they have some kind of a mental issue. We don't talk about people that way anymore. So maybe even older people are becoming more accepting of it, but your 20-year-old patients grew up that way, that this is just another issue we need to deal with. So that's an interesting point.
Yeah, I think not many young people have seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No,
which
that's
is
true.
For the older
that's
people,
true.
They see a vision of mental health as this horrible, sadistic
yeah.
profession, and which has changed. And so there is a lot of stigma that extends from a lot of the ways that mental health was portrayed in the older generations.
Does a psychiatrist like you, you've been in practice 20-some years in the Navy, and since that time, do you have to set up some sort of a mental barrier where I'm going to hear a lot of negative things, I'm going to talk to people who are depressed, but I can't get depressed, I can't go into the valley with them, I want to help them get out of that. Do you have to deal with that, or is that just a professional medical training thing that you don't really think about, you just stay doctor patient only?
Yeah, I think
you kind of have to do that.
Yeah, become a psychiatrist, it's a 4-year residency in psychiatry.
Yes.
And you learn a lot about how to handle the stress of
yeah.
a job like this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they love psychiatry or they hate psychiatry because it is, some people like me are just drawn to that. We love to help people. We love to hear people talk.
Yes.
We love to try to work with them to find ways to have a sense of peace and happiness in their life. And we thrive on that. I love coming to work. I love my job. And versus other people who, anytime someone starts to tear up, well, wait a second, stop right there. I don't want to hear anymore. So I think it depends. So I think of what we do, us who are drawn into the profession are people who naturally enjoy that type of relationship in terms of helping others.
Whether you're a pastor or a psychiatrist, you better know that someone's going to tear up once in a while
mm-hmm.
because they're talking about things that are very close to their heart, and you have to be prepared for that. Let's end with this. If someone in their 70s or 80s has never had a moment of mental challenge in their life has been a pleasant ride all the way, but now, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, they start feeling some depression or loneliness or whatever, well, they should reach out for help immediately. I wonder if it's harder to get them because, well, I've never had a problem. Don't need to see a psychiatrist, that mindset. I'll bet your advice would be at least talk to somebody.
Yeah, I think talk to someone, whether that's a friend, you mentioned a pastor or someone like that, just being able to relieve some of these thoughts because a lot of times it just builds up inside of you and you have nowhere to send those kind of thoughts and feelings and they just kind of tend to compound upon themselves. The more you express it or write it down or journal, the more you can better understand what those feelings and emotions are and how best to address them. And there's all different types of mental health professionals. There's therapists or social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists. And any one of them would be happy to help the person work through those thoughts and talk about those thoughts and figure if there's a way to approach them in a way that provides them that relief.
Any good family doctor, my doctor, can recommend a good psychiatrist.
Absolutely, yes.
So and there's a number ask of, for that help.
Number of great people in the area.
Dr. Jamie Reeves, associate professor here at the University of Alabama at the medical school and a frequent guest on our program. We appreciate you. I really sincerely enjoyed talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.